I could think of, but
even rock groups, you know, yeah. AC/DC was supposedly against Christ. But those ideas are around, all around, and some of it I think is probably just wise marketing, trying to catch attention from people who kind of want to rebel or whatever. But having said that, he is sneaky, and he shows himself sometimes obviously, but often very subtly. Yeah, and so yeah, I that's interesting. I hadn't heard that before.
So we don't drink Monster.
It's yucky anyway. I never drank it, but I tried a Red Bull and it was like, ugh. And only because it was free.
If we really stop and think about it, how might we feel when we consider our spiritual enemies? You read that verse. How might we feel when our spiritual enemies are described as not flesh and blood, but rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms? How might we feel when we think about that?
We're doomed.
Yeah.
I'm going to say doomed.
Yeah, despair, right?
Despair, yeah.
Wow. What chance do we have against that kind of enemy? Demoralized? Overwhelmed? Now revisit verse 10. What do we have to remember? Be strong in the Lord and his almighty power. We have the Lord on our side. He is way greater than any other spiritual force, enemy, whatever it may be. Verse 13. There are actually two reasons to be fully armored. What are they? Two reasons to be fully armored. What are they?
When the day of evil comes, you can stand your ground.
Yeah. Okay. So, the first one is that you can stand during the attack. And what's the second one?
That you have done everything to stand.
Yeah. That you are still standing afterwards. First reason, that you're standing during the attack, the battle. The second is that you're standing after the battle is over. Those are two pretty good reasons to be fully armored in the Lord. What purpose does the belt of truth serve? So, you know, again, feel free to refer to that picture on the front page. But, and actually, I think in typical Roman battles, they had a big buckle right there. That was pretty big round buckle. That was pretty typical. That's not in this picture. But what purpose does a belt serve in the physical battle?
Holds their weapon.
Yep, it does hold your weapon, you're right. But what does it protect? Really the soft part of your body, right? Your belly.
Your belly.
Yeah. Now, how does Paul use that? How does it help us in a spiritual battle? What does it protect us from in our spiritual battle?
Devil.
Yes.
The world's beliefs.
Yep, Satan's lies, right? The world's beliefs, absolutely, all that stuff. What about the breastplate of righteousness? What does it protect in a physical battle?
Your heart.
Vital organs.
Yeah, vital organs.
Yep. What about in a spiritual battle? Okay, and you'll find a lot of these. There's references right in these verses.
Hey, that was a very good shot. Mm-hmm.
In a spiritual battle, I guess there's not really a specific reference there. Breastplate of righteousness in place. You have to think about what righteousness is. Righteousness, you can always think or remember what righteousness is if you think of righteousness as being rightness. Righteousness is rightness with God because of Jesus. So the breastplate of righteousness in a spiritual battle, it protects us from despair, that we are too awful to be saved. Protects us from guilt, that our sins are too big to be forgiven by our God. Those are the things that really are at the heart and soul, right? We need pure hearts through Jesus and confidence and faith in Jesus and all that he has done. How are one's feet to be prepared for battle? In a physical battle?
Shoes.
Yeah. Right, yep, absolutely. And the Roman legionary had very specific shoe wear. There were sandals with sturdy leather on the top and studs on the bottom.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The reason the studs were there were to give him grip in treacherous ground, and that he could have a firm foundation as swords are being swung and everything else. So that gave him stability. And what about our feet in spiritual battle? With your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace.
You can walk away from evil too.
Okay, walk away from evil. Good. But also,
you walk by faith.
Walk by faith. Yep. And right. And carry the message of a God who loves people to other people as well. But that we are grounded in the gospel, in the promises that God gives us, and motivated to live for God. What about the shield of faith? So in a physical battle, what does the shield protect?
Your face, your upper body, or whatever.
Yeah, really? Like the entire body, right? It's your first line of defense against arrows, spears, swords, whatever it may be. So the shield in a physical battle protects the entire body. When in a spiritual battle, that the shield of faith is our outermost protection. And our shield of faith protects us against the flaming arrows of the evil one. What might that be?
The enemy?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the enemy. That's the devil. But what are those flaming arrows?
Sin.
Temptation. Yep. All that. Deceptions. It's interesting that the arrows are described as flaming arrows, too. There's like a double danger in that, right? Mm-hmm. Not only of being pierced, but of being burned as well, or the area around you being burned. What purpose does the helmet of salvation serve in a physical body? Well, that's pretty obvious. It protects your head. In a spiritual battle, helmet of salvation. Protects us from discouragement and frustration. We are saved because of Jesus Christ. We are struggling now in this world. We are constantly tempted. We are constantly in spiritual battle and warfare. But one day we will be beyond it all because of God's grace and mercy and Jesus our Savior. So it is kind of the mental thing that we can grab onto, that God has promised us that we have salvation waiting for us. And sometimes we do have to mentally work our way through things, right? To remember the promises of God, to remember our destination, to remember what great things God has done for us, what great things God has promised to us. Any questions at all on any of the armor of a soldier of God?
What are the flaming arrows of the evil one?
Those are temptations, deceptions, anything that the devil might throw at us. I mean, if you've ever seen good war movies, when you're using this bows and arrows, and I always think the scariest thing, I mean, is when those arrows start flying. Oh. Yeah. Have you ever shot an arrow with like a compound bow or a powerful bow? Oh my goodness, they move fast. And when you start having hundreds of arrows flying, there's no way you can move fast enough to protect yourself from that. You can't cover every area of your body that just, you know. And so that's quite a picture, really, of what the devil's throwing at us. Fast. Many. Multiple. They can pierce us. They can burn us. They can hurt us in so many different ways spiritually. It's really, I find, quite a powerful picture. If you just think of a soldier being in a battle and the arrows start flying, oh my goodness. Other questions, thoughts? Next question is, how is a sword different from the rest of the armor?
It's a weapon. It's not a protection.
Right. Well, and I would say it can be a protection, but you're right. What is different with a sword than all the other stuff is it's also offensive. It is a weapon that you can attack with.
Attack the enemy.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. Exactly. And what is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. The Word of God. When Jesus cast out demons or rebuked demons, what did he use?
Word.
The Word of God. Every word from Jesus was the Word of God, right? But even when the disciples and apostles did the same thing in the early Christian church, what did they use? The Word of God. Right? So when we find ourselves under attack, what is a very good offensive weapon to use against those attacks?
The Word.
The Word of God. Yes, Satan, I know what you are telling me, and this is very attractive to my sinful nature, but God says...
Just say no.
Yeah. Get behind me, Satan. Words of Jesus. Verse 18. What is praying in the Spirit? That's kind of maybe some words that make us a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. What is that?
Praying
Are we talking about like a Pentecostal thing here?
That's what I was thinking.
What is praying in the Spirit? It's in the Bible. It's got to be okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Praying in faith. Praying with motivation from the Holy Spirit, knowing the truth of God, right? Praying with heart and mind and our whole inner being. I happen to personally believe, and I'm not casting blame on anybody, but to give you something to think about. We being my wife and I and our family when we're together, we do not typically use the common table prayer. Sorry if that offends some of you. You know what we do? I say a special prayer every single time.
That's good.
And I'll tell you why I do that. Hey, and don't, I know this is, we do it before potlucks. The pastors even do it. I was at pastors' conference Monday and Tuesday. They do it. It's a beautiful prayer. It's a scriptural prayer, okay? The issue I have with a common table prayer is not the words, but that we say it so very often.
Right.
That doesn't mean anything anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I totally understand. Could,
yeah.
My Branson has that memorized, you know, and it's like, is it really? Obviously, it's still meaningful, but it's. It's repetitive.
Mm-hmm. Repetitive. Yeah, exactly. And that's really, that's a blessing of it, right? That you can teach your kids and they can pray with you. And that's a really special thing.
But I love that, where you can go around the table even saying, thank you, Lord, for... Yep.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah,
absolutely.
It makes you think of what the Lord has done for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. We do that very thing, Maddie, at our Thanksgiving meals with whoever is there. We go around the table three times and everybody says a different thing they're thankful for. Thank you, Lord, for this or for that or whatever. We've never run out yet of things to thank God for.
We never will.
So, and here's another thing. I have the same concern with the Lord's Prayer.
Right, I was going to say that too.
The Lord's Prayer is a prayer of Jesus. Yeah. He gave it to us. I'm not bashing the Lord's Prayer. I'm simply saying... excuse me, that it's so easy when we use the same prayers repetitively that our mind is not engaged anymore. We're just going through the motions.
Exactly.
And it can be no different than saying the rosary for a Catholic. So this is our frailty as simple human beings. And it's just the reality of it. But it all ties in with that praying in the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit is moving us and is engaged. It's working through our faith. And that we are speaking the words that the Holy Spirit gives us. And it's pretty remarkable. At any rate, questions or comments on that? I just threw out some.
No, I agree with you on that. That it just seems like anybody can say it. And... you're not really saying anything, what you feel inside or what you are thankful for. You're just repeating something everybody else can do.
Yeah, I think it's just, I guess it's the point that I'm saying is I'm not, if you use a common table prayer, obviously we're going to continue to use the Lord's Prayer in worship. But I guess my encouragement to me and to all of us is to really try to think about what we're saying.
Yeah. Well, there's a purpose for it. Like
there, yeah.
Like we all pray before when we're in church, we can't all pray a different prayer.
Right.
So we do that.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful thing to, I mean, wow, when you have a whole family together, I should say we never say that. We sometimes do.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty awesome when our family's bigger. And so we got a bunch of us together. We say the common table prayer. You hear all these voices of people that you love. Saying the same prayer, that's pretty special, right? And that's pretty meaningful.
Yeah.
So I please understand where I'm coming from with this.
Yeah, we do. I think I do.
Okay.
It's hard to make some changes now when we have Thanksgiving.
Well, and let me toss this out. just for you to think on. I know we hold really, really dearly the traditional Lord's Prayer. But what we did at St. Paul's, where I was at before, was for some of the services, we used the newer Lord's Prayer. And I know some people would say, you can't do that. But I'll tell you what it does, is the wording is just a little bit different, and it helps people think about what they're saying. And I find that a very positive, beneficial thing. Okay? So.
It teaches us to pray, too.
Yeah.
Grayson will ask me, well, how do I pray? What do I?
Right.
And it's like, yeah.
Yeah. And just tell them, just talk to God in whatever words. You know, God doesn't care if you don't get your sentences right.
He knows what you're thinking.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Because even I have a hard time asking. Or, you know,
yes.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Really, you see
yeah.
it here. Yeah. I talk to God too.
Yeah. I know exactly
yeah.
what you're saying.
Well, one of the things, just an FYI, that for that very reason, Maddie, one of the things that I do, I've always done with my catechism classes, is I say the opening prayer, and the students say the closing prayer. And so the first time we talk about that, their eyes are super wide. You're kidding me, right? I said, no, you can do this. And what's really so awesome is that as they do this more and more, they get more comfortable doing this.
Right.
And they have said some of the most beautiful prayers where I'm kind of, whoa, thank you, Lord, for that. You know, so I guess, you know, a thought for you is that, you know, with your family or whatever, maybe once in a while, just say, let's just say a special prayer, whatever the Spirit moves us to pray. That might be a really good and healthy thing, you know, because God wants us to talk to him all the time. And he doesn't care what words we say. He knows where we're coming from. So just a thought. When are we to pray?
All the time.
Yeah, I do too.
How are we to pray? It's not in your notes. Another question I added. Well, with all kinds of prayers, right?
Yep.
That's what's in the verse 18. With all kinds of prayers. So silent prayers, audible prayers, formal prayers, like the Lord's Prayer. Spontaneous prayers, personal prayers, communal prayers being the prayers we say as a group, right? I can tell you for a fact that some of my most heartfelt prayers are said when I'm sitting across a table in a counseling situation. Lord, give me wisdom, because I don't know what to say. Or in really, really dangerous driving conditions, I'm assuming you've done the same. Lord, help me.
Absolutely.
I don't know what I'm doing here. So that's such a cool thing that we can go to God with all these different prayers in all different ways, and he hears them all. And finally, for what are we to be alert? That's also in verse 18. We've been talking about it, right?
Temptation.
What's that?
Temptation,
right? The devil's attacks. We are to be alert for the devil's attacks because they are never going to stop until we get to heaven. You understand that, right? You are never not a target until God brings you out of this world and brings you into heaven. Finally, only then will we be past Satan's reaches. Questions or comments?
Well, I think we ought to get rid of the devil.
I'm with you, Tom. 100%.
So when a parent says, I brought you into this world, I can take you out, is that the devil talking?
have you heard those words, Arlene?
In movies.
I would say yes, it's probably the devil speaking.
She's never said that before.
I couldn't imagine Wanda saying something like that.
I know it.
But I do know this, as a parent, boy, some of the things we do say sometimes, what did I just do? Lord, forgive me. That's another time you got to pray, right?
Well, here's
forgive me, Lord. And then you gotta repent to God, and then you gotta go and apologize to your kids.
Well,
ever done that?
Yeah. Well, here's what I did one time. I was really mad at him. I was yelling at him, screaming at him, and pretty soon my daughter brought the recorder out. She said, "Well, I recorded you." And when I heard myself, I felt horrible. I said, "I'm never doing that again."
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. All right. Well, hopefully this class is interesting and beneficial for you. I thought it would serve well for kind of a one-time focus class. And I guess I would, before we say the closing prayer, before I ask one of you to say the closing prayer, I'll do it.
We're
all sweating now. I know. You got the big eyes. Just like catechism class.
I'm like, I'm not looking at you.
Let's practice
first. I'll do it. I'll do it. But before we say the closing prayer, let's read that 1 Corinthians 15 passage at the bottom of the last page. Because this is what I want to close on. I mean, yeah, we've talked a lot about the attacks that are coming. They'll never end. They're serious or significant. We need to understand that. But this is our confidence, and this is our joy, all right? And I want to end on this note. Let's read it together. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Very good. We pray. Thank you, Lord, for this insight that you gave us through the Apostle Paul into spiritual warfare. And for the opportunity to really think about this a little bit more and to be a little better prepared, God willing, with your help and through your word for Satan's attacks. Be with us, Lord, always until you bring us home to heaven when you will be with us forever. In the meantime, be our strength, be our hope, be our victor. We need you, and it is on you and your word that we rely in this crazy, crazy world we live in. We give you all glory and thanks, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everyone.
Yep.